Welcome to JMC Live. This is when we all get to heaven. When we see the face of glory. When we see our Heavenly Father. But first, let's take a moment to discuss how do we get there? What is it going to be like? What stories do we have? What opportunities and things that are in our lives that may have transformed us to be where we are? We'll be able to look into the Bible today to find out what God is saying and then how he wants to operate amongst the nations. So we first go to Isaiah 25:8. I'll let you take a moment to get there. Isaiah 25:8. Let me know when you got to that verse. Isaiah 25:8. This is an amazing opportunity to learn more about the gospel of Christ involving what heaven is about. So we start with Isaiah 25:8. It says, he will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. So we look with this verse. It talks about all the pains and sufferings of this world. What is happening in this world is not in vain. We are doing what Christ has called us to do. We have already accepted Christ as our Savior, and we believe that this world is not our final destination. We have a reservation. You don't need a ticket, or as I've saying, you know, you get a ticket, you know, and get on board. It's however it's translated, but we're looking at so many different verses today that will discuss about what God is doing and then how we operate as Christians in this world. If we go to Matthew chapter 5 says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come to abolish them, not but to fulfill the law. He wants to fulfill the law in our lives, okay? He wants to fulfill the Old Testament and not, like, cancel it out. It says, for truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the stroke, least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. We're talking about everything that's listed, all the prophecies of the Old Testament, things that were talked about in the New Testament. We're talking about what God is doing. And it says, 19, therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. 20, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. So what are we talking about here? That Christ is fulfilling the law, that we will move forward to that place that God wants to do in our lives. And to do that, we have to effectively understand where God is, how he's operating in today's society. Because when we move into that place, we see what God is doing. And it becomes a great, great moment in what God is doing and in how we operate. So our next verse will be John 14:2-4. John 14:2-4, and I'll let you take a moment to get to John 14:2-4. So once you get there, let me know, and I will So John 14, 2 and 4, it says, my Father's house has many rooms. We're talking about many rooms in the kingdom of God, many places of what God is doing and in how he's operating. It says that if it were not so, what I have told you, that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if you go and prepare a place for you, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And he's talking about going to heaven and that there is a preparation for our lives, that Christ wants to transform our life. He wants to move us to a different place in our lives where we are not held back by the things of this world. Because our lives do not end when we pass away on earth. If we go to Colossians 3, 1 and 4. Colossians 3, 1 and 4. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ. You set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, to set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ and God. For when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will then also appear with him in glory. So we realize that when the time comes for us to go to heaven, when we finally move to that place that God says, yes, we will have an expiration date here on earth. And we have this moment come where we're no longer physically here. And again, I reiterate, for those that believe that Christ is their Savior, you've already made this commitment in your life. You realize that there are things beyond our earthly expiration date. We all have an expiration date. We all have moments that come in our lives where we don't always have the explanations. We don't always have the understanding of the things that happen. But I can tell you this as well, that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, has an opportunity today to speak to you through these words. Because there are many posts right now where we're focusing on how to prepare for the rapture. We're focusing on preparing to go to heaven. We're focusing on the different times and signs and wonders and things that are happening in this world. What do we do? How do we operate? What is it that we're trying to accomplish? It's quite simply placed that God wants us to understand that as all the tribulations of the world continue to get worse, there will ultimately be the final tribulation. Because what you got to think about, for those of you that are smart with science and scientific capabilities, and you do a scientific method, for those of you that are more into art, and you practice the wiping of your pen and the stroke of your brush, for those of you that write, what do? You brainstorm, you create an outline, you create different things, and you create a template of what you're going to do, and you write different paragraphs. And then what do you do when you're done with your paragraphs? You review it. If you're writing a book, you get it proofread by an editor. And what happens when all these things happen? Well, all across the thing is blue, it's blue ink or black ink or red ink, depending on where you're at, are highlighted in yellow. Oh, this word is misspelled. This mathematical equation is missing, you know, a problem. It's not added correctly. It's not divided. You missed a symbol. Well, the devil is doing the same thing. He's keeps on practicing over and over and over until he ultimately figures out his final plan to destroy the world, to stop Christianity, to make Christians not be able to share the message of the gospel on the internet, to not be able to meet in person, whether it's because of rules, regulations, illnesses, chaos, discords, asteroids clashing on the earth, you know, war, and everything else in between. There's a group of people that will come, that will survive during the tribulation and will get saved. They say it's 144,000 people. And they too will make it to heaven. But what you also got to think about, didn't I just talk about this template? We've talked about on this show, what kind of legacy are you leaving? We all have an expiration date. There's going to be a time in my life where I will not be able to sit in this chair and be able to operate all these things to get the show to work, or technology as tonight, it broke. We could not go on Facebook and YouTube. All of it broke. My account got locked out. It said someone else accessed my account. I had to reset my account. I had to reset the YouTube. Everything was a disaster, and I got it all figured out in less than 5 minutes. But there's going to come a time where this is going to be shut down, and no matter what I do, it won't work, and there'll be a knock on the door. Someone's going to kick in my door, and I could be arrested here in America or in China or in Mexico or Canada or anywhere else in between. And when this time comes, those Christians, those 144,000 people that will get saved, somebody in the lineage before them in the body of Christ wrote a book, wrote something on paper, made a video, sent a digital message. The Lord spoke to them in a Damascus Road event and took the blinders off their eyes. And Saul becomes Paul in that moment, because God is going to reach the 144,000. And you and me are directly linked to what's going to happen to them in the future. You're like, well, what do you mean, Jeremy? What do you mean, pastor, evangelist, missionary, worship leader? What do you mean? I mean, what we do today affects the Christians in our lives and the non-Christians in our lives, and it affects what happens to future generations. It's like I take this cup and I drop an ice cube in it and it makes a ripple. Or if you blow air into it, it makes a ripple. We have rippling effects. We have different things that happen in our lives that cause us, to find out what happens in society and what God is doing. And we're going to now look at the verse that I'm explaining about that leads up to this. It's also found reference into Isaiah chapters 49 verses 10 and Isaiah 25 and 8 when we get to that. There's different points. But this is Revelation 7 verses 13 through 17. This is referencing those 144,000 people. It says, then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? 14, I answer, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation, talking about the final tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. 15, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will beat down on them. Here's where we're referencing Isaiah 49 and 10. Nor any scorching heat. 17, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. Again, Isaiah 49 and 10. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. See, Isaiah 25, 8. There's many songs that talk away about God wiping away the tears of the eyes of the people, and because they have gone to heaven, there's no more sickness, there's no more pain, there's no more worry, there's no more problems, there's no more issues, there's no more anything going on in this world, because God and Jesus Christ has come into this world to set the captives free. But again, this cannot happen until the Christians of today continue to spread the gospel amongst the four corners of the earth and everyone hears the message of the gospel and understand what it means about heaven. Now, I'm going to check in with my wife to see if she's wanting to share her story, because we had an opportunity Well, we both have had different experiences in our lives about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to understand heaven. I've had simulations where we discussed great missionaries and ministers of the gospel, and we're put in a simulation experience, like what it would be like to be in tribulation and what it was like. And then we prayed and we fasted for 40 days. And within those 40 days, we started having dreams and visions. This is back in the 90s, early 2000s. I can't tell you how long it has been since I've had a revelational moment like that until today. For the last like 7 days, we've been praying for South Africa. We've been praying for Cuba and Haiti and all the other nations where presidents have been assassinated or attempting. And God has spoken to us in different things. But at this time, when Miranda is ready, she'll give me a thumbs up when she's ready. I want Miranda to share, as you can hear the dog snoring in the background, about what happened to her when she was younger. Again, this isn't God's messages. When you look in the Bible, there are some prophets that get messages all the time. There's leaders and different people asking, hey, do you have a word from God? Hey, this dream happened or this situation happened. Can you explain this to me? What does this mean? Well, Miranda has a moment like that, that she is going to want to share with you about what happened to her when she was younger and her experience with heaven. Miranda?
When I was 15 years old, I was going through a very, very hard time in my life. And ironically, if looking back now that I'm 40, I really hadn't been through anything. But I'd gotten saved when I was 12, and I was 15, and I was in the process of, you know, practicing my drums. I'd gotten my drum set for Christmas, and I was almost 16 years old, and I was on the path to start working in church and play music in church and everything, and but I was being really attacked at school by my teachers. A lot of times we talk about the bullying kids go through with other students. Mine really wasn't the students. I didn't have. I mean, I could take care of myself with the other kids. But it was the teachers, the principal. How are you supposed to fight them when they're the ones abusing you? And so between the abuse I was going through at school and then also struggling with my parents' divorce everything just piled in on me. And I started contemplating suicide. But no, as a Christian, I know if I killed myself, I would immediately go to hell. I would damn myself to hell. So I began to pray that God would let me die. And I prayed for over 2 weeks. Every night I prayed, just let me go home. And I prayed to die every night for over 2 weeks. And then I went to bed one night. It was a school night. I vividly remember it was a school night because I was so exhausted the next morning. But I still had to go to school. And I did. And somehow I did. But one night, on a school night, I went to sleep. In 1990, in the year 1996, and I died. I actually left my body. I felt myself rising, and the next thing I know, I'm standing at the gates of heaven. And I'm thinking, I'm dead and I'm in heaven. And I had no thought that I had died alone. I had no thought of missing anybody. I was just so overwhelmed and so excited to see Jesus and be home in heaven. And he'd answered my prayer. And I'm standing at the gates of heaven and the gates open. I just see this bright light, so bright. It was like, you know, like looking straight into the sun where it blinds you. And I stepped just inside the gate and I couldn't see anything because the light was so bright. But suddenly from the right side of me, I see a young, a young man walk up to me. And he was around my age. And the reason I recognized him was because of his picture that sits on my grandma's, at that time, sat on top of her TV. And it was my Uncle Craig, who had died when he was 15 years old in a swimming accident. He drowned. And I knew it was him. And he walks up to me and I look at him and I said, "Craig?" And he goes, "Yeah, hi, Miranda." He knew me and he waved at me and then he just walked on. And then I look and I see another person coming. And I look over and it's my great-grandmother, Naomi James, who passed away when I was 10 years old. And I recognized her, but she was a lot younger, but I still recognized her. And she walks up to me and I say, "Mama?" And she goes, "Yeah, hi, Miranda." And then she just walked on and kind of just disappeared into the light. And then all of a sudden I look around and there's just this, all I could say is a multitude of thousands of people just are surrounding me and I could see them. And I recognize a lot of faces and they're all kind of talking and they're all kind of just kind of looking at me. And then all of a sudden I see them kind of separating and making a path and coming down the path was Jesus. Now, I wish Jeremy would have said the scripture the scripture where Jesus is his transfiguration on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And they saw him, you know, they said his clothes were white, you know, bright white, and his skin shone like the sun. That's exactly what he looked like. But he didn't look exactly like they portray him in the pictures. He looked like a Jewish man. He was a Jewish man. But his hair wasn't as long. His hair was quite a bit shorter. Maybe just, it is a little bit shorter than mine. But he walks, of course, I'm only 5'3", so everybody's taller than me. But Jesus, he was very tall, and probably around 6 foot. And he comes to me. And he looks down at me, and I'm thinking, I'm home. It was so wonderful. And I looked into his eyes, and there's no way to describe the love. I couldn't even bear to look into his eyes because of the love that you see that he has for you when you look into his eyes.
Amen.
It's overwhelming. I couldn't bear to even look, and I had to put my head down.
Hallelujah.
And, he looks at me and he says, and I thought he was going to say, "Welcome home." No. He looks at me and he says, "Miranda, why are you praying this prayer?" And I knew immediately in my head what he was talking about. He was talking about me praying to die. And I told him, I said, "I can't do this anymore. I just want to come home." And he hugged me. He held me, and one day we're all going to know how that feels, you know, how it feels for Jesus to hug you, your father to hug you, physically touch you, and I just can't wait for us all to understand what I'm talking about. And he hugs me, and he says, "Miranda, it's not your time. It's not your time yet. You have to go back." And I looked at him and I was like, I just started crying. And he said, "Look," and Jesus just told it to me. He said, "Miranda, you got to understand there are people down there that only you can reach. And if you're not down there, if you're not there, they won't have, you know, for you to share your testimony, the gospel with them, they're not going to get saved." And I mean, I just stood there. I didn't know what to say. I mean, what do you say when, you know, you're standing in heaven and you're being told you have to go back? Let me tell you, I did not have that strength within me. Humanly, I did not. Humanly, I did not. I was only a 15-year-old teenager. I hadn't, I was completely broken. I mean, and here I am standing in the, in, you know, Jesus is standing here with me. I'm in heaven and I'm just somehow, I've got to go back. I've got to go back to all of this craziness. And he hugged me again. And when he hugged me, I'm just crying. And all of a sudden I could just feel he filled me with his spirit. He strengthened me. What does it say? It says he strengthens us when we are weak. He carries us. And he did. And he strengthened me. And I found this strength that I still, to this day, is his strength in me, back putting that in me when I was 15 years old. It's still sustaining me today when I'm 40 years old after everything I've gone through. It is the only reason I keep going, knowing it's just not my time yet, but I know my Jesus is there. I know my family's there. I've seen them. I know heaven is real and nobody can take that from me. And he filled me with this strength beyond imagination. And I looked at him. I looked up at Jesus and I said, okay, I'll go back. And when I said that, I immediately, it was just like a gust of wind. Something pulled me, just pulled me straight out of the gates of heaven. And the gates shut. And then I felt myself falling. And everything went black. And I felt like I went back into my body. And when I woke up, I gasped for air like I hadn't took a breath in like over a minute. I was like choking and I was gasping for air when I woke up. And after that day, when I went to heaven, when the Lord took me to heaven to talk to me, I've never prayed that prayer again. Yes, there's been times that when my pain was so bad, I was on the verge of passing out, and I have passed out. I would cry to the Lord, and I have the only thing I would, I know it's not my time. And the only thing I would cry out is to say, take my pain, take the pain, take the suffering from me so I can continue on, because I know it's not my time. But I'm here to tell you, heaven's real. And it's beautiful. And the reason it's beautiful, not because I didn't, because of what I saw, was because, you know, I didn't really see anything. He just showed, I saw the gate and I saw the right, the, you know, the like the song says, I'll meet you in the morning just inside the eastern gate. And that's exactly where I was at, just inside that gate. Now I'm 40 years old and people have asked me, do you think the Lord will ever take me, show me heaven again? I said, no, no. And the reason for that is Jesus isn't going to torture me like that. Our Father doesn't do mean things like that to torture us. He showed me the glimpse to strengthen me, to be able for it to carry me through. And it does, because when I'm in the, when I've been in the throes of the most, a 10 out of 10 pain where I'm on the verge of passing out from the Crohn's pain, I hold on to that image of Jesus standing there holding me, telling me, I'm going to get to come home one day. It's just not time yet. And I hold on. And I hold on. And my ex-husband was raping me and threatening to kill me. I wasn't afraid because I knew where I was going to go. I wasn't sure if it was going to beat my time, but I was ready to go home to heaven when I was 19 years old. If my ex-husband was going to kill me, if the Lord was going to allow this is how I was going to die, I was ready to go. But it wasn't. It wasn't my time. And I knew it wasn't my time. And if it's not your time, it doesn't matter how many demons and how much Satan fights you, tries to kill you. I mean, the bullets won't hit you. The knives won't stab you. They may torture your body, but they can't kill you. They may break your bones, and they may torture your mind, but they can't take what's inside. And you're not going to go home until the Lord calls us home. But I like that. But a lot of the songs I sing about is about the blood and about heaven. That's because I know what his... Because without the blood, I could never have even had that glimpse. Without his blood. Without his blood saving me. When I was 12 years old, I never even got that glimpse when I was 15. And without the blood, I couldn't have made it this far. But I'm here to tell you, folks, with everything going on in this world, there is nothing in this world worth losing your soul for. Why do we want to stay here? Why do we want to hold on to all this filth and all these things are going to rot away one day? We need to be making our reservation. We need to be focusing on going to the golden city, being with Jesus, because I'm telling you, he's real. And I thank God he sent his son. And I'm so thankful Jesus died for me. He didn't have to. But just like a father and a mother would give up their life for their own child, he gave it for us. He gave it for us that we would have a chance to go and live with him in heaven one day. We just have to be willing to hand our lives over to him. And surrender to his will and surrender to his plan. And that's why I tell Jeremy, we can't stray from the plan. I mean, that's just one of the many things the Lord showed me. And one of the many times Jesus came to me and talked to me. But that was the most important one, because I'm still here. And every day that I'm here, even though my body is broken right now, I know he's going to heal me. Either he's going to heal me while I'm living so I can continue to do the work that he has for me to finish the race that I'm on, or he's going to heal me when I cross over into heaven. But either way, I'm going to be healed, and either way, I'm going home one day. And there's so many more people up there now than there was when I was 15 years old. But folks, I want to leave you with this. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know him, cry out to him. Repent of your sins. Repent of the things you have done in your past. You may think, oh, I'm a good person, I live a good life. That's not enough. We're all born into sin. Every one of us is sinners. The only difference between a sinner and a saint is the blood. God to have the blood of Christ on our lives. We have to be reborn through him and his spirit be put in us and be changed. I'm going to turn back over to Jeremy, but I hope my testimony has blessed you and given you hope. For those who may be doubting Thomas's right now, don't doubt, just believe. And it says, Jesus said, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. If you believe in Jesus and you follow his plan for your life and walk the path that he's laid before you, you have more faith than me, because you have not seen. I have seen. I got a glimpse. But if I had not been given that glimpse, I would never have survived what I have gone through since I was 15 years old. I would never have survived over 6 months of being raped almost every day, being told I'm going to be murdered. I would never survived the Crohn's diagnosis and all of the pain and the agony I have gone through every day for over 14 years. I hope you've been blessed. I'm going to let Jeremy talk to you now.
So we now look at our next verse, John 15:9. John 15:9, it says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. You have just heard a glimpse into someone that has had visions into heaven, who was taken to heaven. My wife had that experience, that many others have this experience. Are you not of this world? Are you not of this world? Or are you of this world? Where is your final destination? I have to ask you this evening. Where are you headed right now? In the figurative concrete. Where are you going? You going to eat? Leaving a movie? Scrolling on Facebook on your phone? Where are you going? What are you doing? How are you getting there? Do you believe that this world is not your home? Do you believe that the power of Christ transforms people's lives? Do you believe people have dreams and visions and can be taken to heaven and elsewhere and see angels and see Jesus and signs, wonders, and miracles? Do you believe these kinds of things? The importance of this show today, that we wanted to have this shared, is because we wanted to see people transformed by the power of Christ. The Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, we just come before you now. We pray for the saints of the world. We pray for the lost of the world, that they too have one more glimpse of heaven, one more glimpse of the gospel, one more word be shared, one more song be sang, one more vision, one more dream, one more prophecy be fulfilled, one more signs, miracles, and wonders and healings occur, where only the power in the name of Jesus Christ could be the explanation of what has occurred in that man, woman, child life, what has occurred in that situation, what occurred to that equipment, what occurred to that situation, the people, the area, the politics, the education, the political realm, everything else in between, that the only solution is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you will get the glory when we all get to heaven. By the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray, amen and amen. God bless you, and we look forward to our next show.